It's Thursday, the 14th of May, day 54. Last Saturday, The Guardian published a remarkable essay by a Dutch journalist, Rutger Bregman, someone of whom I'd only previously heard because of his book Utopia for Realists. In the essay, he tells of how he had been writing a book about human nature, which is coming out next week. Its title is Humankind, A Hopeful History, and it's his attempt to capture the scientific view of human nature that has evolved over the last half century. For the first half of the 20th century, he says, the conventional view of human nature had become relentlessly bleaker. And if there was any doubt on the matter, the Holocaust definitively extinguished it. And then the experiments of psychologists like Stanley Milgram effectively sealed the conclusion. It seemed that only the thinnest of lines separated us from barbaric behaviour towards our fellow humans. The conventional wisdom was that if given unaccountable authority over other people, a depressing number of us are willing to inflict pain on them. This view of human nature was vividly captured and expressed by the writer William Golding in his novel Lord of the Flies, which told the story of how a group of English schoolboys, marooned on a desert island, descended into cruelty and barbarism. This horrifying novel was a runaway bestseller and became a staple part of the GCSE English syllabus for the years when my children were at secondary school. When Mr. Bregman was working on his book, he wondered if there were any counterexamples to Golding's pessimistic view of human nature. So he embarked on a quest for a real-life Lord of the Flies. And by a wonderful coincidence, he found one. The protagonists were six boys, all pupils at a strict Catholic boarding school in Tonga in Polynesia. The oldest of them was 16, the youngest 13, and they had one main thing in common. They were bored witless. So they came up with a plan to escape to Fiji, some 500 miles away, or even all the way to New Zealand. There was only one obstacle. None of them owned a boat, so they decided to borrow one from a fisherman they all disliked. They packed two sacks of bananas, a few coconuts and a small gas burner, but failed to obtain either a map or a compass. They then sneaked away onto the open ocean on a fine, peaceful evening. But later that night they were hit by a ferocious storm that tore away the sail, broke the rudder, and left them floating helpless for 8 days, until they washed up on a genuinely deserted island. At this point, their story dramatically diverges from Golding's dystopian narrative. The kids agreed to work in teams of two, drawing up a strict roster for garden, kitchen, and guard duty. Sometimes they quarrelled, but whenever that happened, they solved it by imposing a timeout. Their days began and ended with song and prayer. One of them slipped one day, fell off a cliff and broke his leg. The other boys picked their way down after him and then helped him back up to the top. They set his leg using sticks and leaves. They survived initially on fish and coconuts, tame birds. They drank the blood as well as eating the meat, and seabird eggs, which they sucked dry. Later, when they got to the top of the island, they found an ancient volcanic crater where people had lived a century before, and there the boys discovered wild taro, bananas, and chickens, which had been reproducing for the 100 years since the last Tongans had left. The boys were eventually rescued 15 months later, fit and well and still talking to one another. A greater contrast between their experience and that of Golding's young savages would be hard to imagine. And one can see why Mr. Bregman saw them as an illustration of the extent to which the 20th century bleak view of human nature was unduly pessimistic. What's more interesting, though, in a way, is that this essay of his seems to have gone viral. And I can see why. Because it speaks to something that many, many people can see emerging as we work our way through this pandemic. Bregman calls it the explosion of cooperation and altruism, and people organising stuff from the bottom up in response to the pandemic. I can see it too in my own life and in our neighbourhood. So this cloud, it turns out, has some silver linings. And now I have his book to look forward to.